morning and welcome to this hour of worship coming to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. Today is the first Sunday after Christmas. Pastor Alan Miller chosen for a sermon topic, Songs of Praise, based on Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. Mrs. Judy Tupel is at the piano this morning, and your announcer is Ron Meyer.
Good morning. And Merry Christmas. We are still in the Christmas season as it goes on for 12 days, and indeed it goes on all year round, as this truth is always to be on our hearts and minds, that Christ the Lord has come. And so we rejoice in this truth today. And we also welcome many guests and visitors we have with us today. We have quite a few exciting things happening today with first a new member welcome, and also with an early confirmation with Gus. And so we are excited about all the work that God is doing in our midst. And let's go before him with praise, singing our first hymn together, number 332. Would you please stand as you're able? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word, to call upon him in prayer and praise, and to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you of all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated, and at this time, I invite the Jorman family forward. Well, dear friends, Tyler and Emily have recently completed their new member classes, and now they stand before you today desiring to join the fellowship of this congregation as official members. Although God's church transcends both time and place, the Lord has graciously gathered many of his people to live and worship together here at Emmanuel Lutheran Church. The Lord has called his people here so that we may strengthen one another, that we may worship with one another, and so that we may serve one another with all that the Lord has given us. As Tyler and Emily join our church, we are reminded that we are all together, one body, the church. Remembering always that when one member suffers, we all suffer. As they join the fellowship of this church, let us remember this and pray for and support each other. And so, Tyler and Emily, I ask you in the presence of the church, do you desire to join in the membership of Emmanuel Lutheran Church? If so, then answer, I do. Do you intend to hear the word of God and to receive the Lord's Supper faithfully? If so, answer, I do. And do you intend to live according to the word of God as you have been taught it in the small catechism? And will you in faith, word, and deed remain true to God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even unto death? If so, answer, I do. Upon this, your confession, I acknowledge you to be the newest members of this congregation of Emmanuel Lutheran Church. You may receive the Lord's Supper and participate with us in all the blessings of salvation that the Lord has given the church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would the congregation please stand for prayer? Now, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for your great goodness in bringing Tyler and Emily and the family to the knowledge of truth, and have since brought them to join us in fellowship. As we pilgrim together through this sinful world, lead us to love and care for one another. Let your church support and encourage, uplift, and pray for one another daily. We humbly ask that you would knit us together from all walks of life with those bonds of unity. And let your body, the church, act and live as one as we seek to glorify you in our lives. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Well, Tyler and Emily, we can remain standing, but Tyler and Emily, I want to hand you a gift on behalf of the care team, just to welcome you as members of our church. We're so glad to have you. Can we show our appreciation to God? Our service continues with the intro it. The Lord has bared his arm before the eyes of all nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and praise. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Lord be with you.
And also with
you. Let us pray. O God, our Maker and Redeemer, you wonderfully created us, and in the incarnation of your Son, yet more wondrously restored our human nature. Grant that we may ever be alive in him who made himself to be like us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from God's Word. Our Old Testament reading comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 13. The Lord said to Moses, "Consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and of beast, is mine." Then Moses said to the people, "Remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of slavery. For by a strong hand the Lord brought you out from this place. When the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and your fathers, and shall give it to you, you shall set apart to the Lord all the first opens the womb, All the firstborn of your animals that are male shall be the Lord's. Every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. Or if you will not redeem it, you shall break its neck. Every firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. And when in time to come your son asks you, what does this mean? You shall say to him, by a strong hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt, from the house of slavery. For when Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of animals. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all the males that first opened the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading comes from the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Put on, then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia verse. Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. Glory be to you, O Lord. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phileel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who are waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We confess the Christian faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. In our gospel reading this morning, we see Jesus is brought to the temple. He's only 8 days old, but as was the custom of the day, he is here to be named and circumcised. And also, as we saw, the firstborn son is to be dedicated to the Lord with a sacrifice of animals. Now, this is certainly a beautiful sight, but considering how common this sort of thing was, there really didn't appear on the surface to be anything quite so unique. Again, this has been the custom for some thousands of years. But then things start to get a little strange, if you will, when we hear of two specific people. In verse 25, we hear of Simeon, a righteous and devout man. And in verse 36, we hear of Anna, a prophetess. Apparently having been a widow now for some 60 years, spending all of her days in the temple. As Jesus is brought into the temple, these two take notice. Somehow God has led them to see something uniquely special going on with this child. And I find it so beautiful then how God has ordained that it would be both a man and a woman to testify to the coming of the Messiah. Now again, going back to Moses' day, we see that God once declared that no fact or no testimony should be established except by the mouths of two or three witnesses. And that is exactly what we have here. The Lord has set apart two witnesses to bear testimony to the fact that the Lord is come. Right out at the very beginning. And in their own ways, they begin to speak and to prophesy. Simeon, he picks up the Christ child and he starts singing. Anna is rejoicing, thanking God, and just telling everyone around her that this is the Messiah. We know that God is never without his witnesses. Even in the age of spiritual darkness, God will always have a special people. In the worst of places and in the darkest of times, God has his people. We remember there was a Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah. There was a Daniel in Babylon. A Jeremiah in the king's court, a Nehemiah in the king's palace. There was a Rahab in Jericho. God never leaves himself without a witness. No matter how small the believing church may sometimes be, the gates of hell will never prevail against her. Though the true church can be scattered into the wilderness, we may yet rejoice that it will never die. God always has that faithful remnant. That's what we see here. While religion arguably was at its lowest, spoiled by the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees, God still had his people. When iniquity was at its highest, God still had his Simeon and his Anna. And for us, dear friends, no matter how dark the spiritual landscape may get, no matter how infested with wolves the church may be, no matter how widespread the leaven has permeated through the pulpits and pews, God will always have his special people. Let us not lose sight that grace can flourish in the most unfavorable circumstances. In China, in North Korea, in the Middle East, within the worldly church of America today, there are more Simeons and Annas than we may think. But when we look at Simeon's song, his witness of who this Christ child is, there is one thing that I think sticks out immediately to us. And that is just how completely calm Simeon's view of death is. He says, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace." Isn't that amazing how completely delivered a believer can be from the fear of death? The way in which Simeon speaks of death, it is like one for whom the grave has lost all of its terrors. For him, even, death has become a welcomed sight. Just the way he speaks of it, it's like death isn't any more scary than an usher who comes before you to say, "You know, it's your time to come to the communion rail." Death, it's become no more scary than an Alan Bradyhoff, or a Curtis, or a Jay, or Matthew. For the Christian, we can come to the place where death is seen nothing more than an usher who takes you by the hand and leads you, not just to the communion rail, but to the Father's house. And into the great wedding hall, where there is the marriage supper of the Lamb that will have no end. Simeon speaks of his death as a departure, himself desiring to go elsewhere. That is, to go home and to be released from the miseries of this pilgrim-like state. He speaks as one who knows that when he departs, the change he will undergo will be forever and better. And he is ready for it whenever the Lord wills. But we must ask, dear friends, what can make a man speak so calmly of death? No, personally, I've seen grown men full of bodily aches and pains, even them not ready to die. Men who have trouble breathing, not ready to die. Likewise, I have seen people disenfranchised with the ways of the world, where life always seems to just be one disappointment after another. And yet themselves, still not ready to die. Now, it's not weariness of pain alone or an indifference to the world alone. Neither of these things are enough to take the sting out of death. These things alone don't prepare anyone to depart. And if we want a blessed end, dear friends, then we must have more than that as well. We need to have what Simeon had. A Simeon-like faith, if you will. It takes that faith that grabs hold of Christ. And as Simeon did physically, taking up the Christ child in his arms, much more significantly, though, did he take him up spiritually in the arms of his faith. As he lifted him up in his hands, he lifted him even higher in his esteem and in his praise. To have a blessed end, beloved, we too must grab hold of Jesus with the same arms of faith. To lift him up in our hearts and minds, with the two arms of faith, grab hold of him and say, "My Lord and my God." He is the Lord, and he offers himself to those who grab hold of him by faith. And as such, he can give a blessed end to all who repent of their sins and who turn to him for life. He's to be had by all who call upon him. Whosoever will find salvation and life everlasting. You know, everyone in the temple that day saw a baby Jew come to be named and circumcised. But as Simeon looked upon him through the eyes of faith, he saw something much more significant. He sees the Savior of man. I love the confession he cries out, "My eyes have seen thy salvation." Simeon sees the reality behind the veil. He sees Jesus for who he truly is. He sees Jesus, the name meaning Savior. It's just so beautiful that the Lord God takes upon himself the name Jesus. Because it's just amazing that this would be the name by which he desired to be made known as. We could truly say that the Son of God, he came down not from heaven, not only as a Savior, he came down to be King, he came down to be a lawgiver and a teacher, he came down as a prophet and a priest, he's coming again to be a judge for fallen man. Had Jesus taken up any of these other names and titles, we would say he only chose that which is true and an accurate description of himself. We would have thought nothing by it. We would have just said, oh, what a fitting name that he has named himself King. And yet we see that he passes by all of these, opting to just take on one name specifically, one special name that speaks to his desire to show love and mercy. He takes upon himself the name Jesus, again meaning Savior. Do we not see, dear friends, that this is the Savior that we need, and it is a Savior that he primarily wants to be known by, so as to make it, again, his own personal name? This is the all-important question upon which salvation itself turns. Is he our Jesus, our Savior? We need not to be certain that Jesus is just a miracle worker. We need to know that he's not just a good teacher. He's not simply one who has spoken like no man has ever spoke. He's not just an example of what sacrificial living looks like. It's not enough to know that Jesus points us to the way of salvation, but that he is the way, the truth, and the life. The office upon which our salvation lies is this: do we know him as Savior? Do we know him personally and experimentally as our deliverer, from whom comes our victory over sin, death, and the devil? If you know Jesus not as a Savior, then you know him not at all. For you know him not even according to his own personal name. He's not just a good example or role model. He's not just very God of very God, but particularly he is Savior. As one who has come to die for sinners and to take upon himself the judgment and guilt of man. He comes to save his people and to give them a blessed end, that we no longer need to fear death in the hour of its coming. For in Christ the Lord, dear friends, we shall pass from death to life. He who believes in me will never die, Jesus says, but he has everlasting life. He makes it so that we may sing out with Simeon, "Lord, now you let your servant depart in peace. Sin is washed away. Guilt is removed. Shame is covered. For the Lord your God has come. Jesus, my Savior. Amen." And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, would you please stand and join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you that you are full of mercy, and that you have sent your Son to visit us in mercy, and that you would reveal your heart and your desire to save us, even through the very own personal name which you picked out for him. We know that this is not a Savior of our own making, but one who has been named and appointed by you. Ordained and sent by you. We thank you that everything about Jesus, his birth, life, death, and resurrection, how it all teaches us something about your great love towards us. And we glorify you that you have not left us in the dark, but have shined a great light before us. Showing us clearly that you do not desire the death of sinners, but that all would find life and salvation in Jesus the Savior. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And God of truth, now we thank you that you never leave yourself without witnesses, but that everywhere we go, we may find a special people whom you have called out from the world. We pray for the church scattered throughout the world, for missionaries, for Christians in hostile places. We ask that you would keep these safe and continue to spread your light and truth to many more. Look after your people, giving them the faithfulness to persevere, strength and zeal to serve you in all adversity, and clothe your whole church with the full armor of God, that each of us may stand strong for you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Lord of the church, you are a God of peace, a God of unity, and a God of love. We thank you that you have called us into one body made of many members, and one temple made from living stones. You have brought us from many walks of life to live together, to support, love, and encourage each other. Give us hearts then, ones of service, that we may each outdo one another in showing love and honor. We thank you that you continue to grow your church here in our midst, and that you continue to lead people into maturity of faith. We praise you and glorify your holy name. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And lastly, a great physician, we thank you that you are a God of life, and that you bring full healing one way or another to all of your people, whether in this life or in the life to come. We ask that you would continue to bring peace, healing, strength, and joy to the suffering. We lift before you this morning especially the family of Thelma Nienheiser, as she passed away just this morning. We ask that you would give these your peace, which surpasses understanding. Give us comfort in knowing that Thelma had a blessed end, knowing that it was in you that she passed from life to life. Be also with the friends and loved ones of Bill Gasol, as he also passed away this last week. Continue to raise up blessed servants like these who will serve you for many years and bring you glory. For all who are on our hearts and minds, we lift these before you, Father, trusting them into your care. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. And taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated, and at this time we worship God with our offerings. Beloved in the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ said to his apostles, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Gus has been baptized in the Christian faith, and he has since been officially instructed in the teachings of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And today he stands here to confess before this congregation his faith and his desire to participate in the faithful reception of the Lord's Supper. Jesus said, "Whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Gus, in light of this promise, I ask you to lift up your heart to the God of all grace and joyfully give answer to what I now ask you in the name of the Lord. Do you this day in the presence of God and of this congregation acknowledge the gifts that God gave you in your baptism?
Yes, I do.
Do you renounce the devil, his works, and all of his ways?
Yes, I renounce them.
Do you believe in God the Father Almighty?
Yes, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord?
Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
And do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
Yes, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Do you confess the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church, drawn from the Scriptures as you have learned it from the Small Catechism, to be faithful and true?
I do.
Do you intend to hear the Word of God and to receive the Lord's Supper faithfully?
I do, by the grace of God.
And do you intend to live according to the Word of God and in faith, word, and deed, to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even unto death?
I do, by the grace of God.
Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it?
I do, by the grace of God.
We rejoice with thankful hearts that you have been baptized and have received the teaching of the Lord. You have confessed the faith and have been absolved of your sins. As you continue to hear the Lord's word and receive his blessed sacrament, he who has begun this good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Family, if you want to join, and we're going to say a little blessing over Gus. Gus, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and the Spirit, and who has forgiven you all of your sins, may he strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. Amen. And Gus, your confirmation verse is Psalm 63:4. I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. May the Lord give you faith and peace all the days of your life. And may his promises of forgiveness and life bring you joy and confidence so that you may glorify him in all that you say and do. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can stand. In the congregation, you can stand, and we're going to celebrate and go to the Lord with thanksgiving. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your great goodness and bringing Gus, your child, to the knowledge of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we glorify your holy name, asking that you would enable him with both the heart to believe and the mouth to confess his saving name. Grant that he may continue steadfast and victorious, work in him to produce the fruits of faith every day until we rest from our labors with you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And our service continues with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to
the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Bless.
Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated for Departing Hymn 924.